Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Jeff Schwartz, Fox Sports, former NFL offensive lineman, will join us. We will go over the day that was in the NFL, look ahead to two Monday night games, reactions from the weekend in NFL, college. A lot went on in college. So excited to talk to Jeff, but we'll start with the NFL. We'll start with the game that just ended as I'm recording this. The Chiefs beat the Lions 30-17. You always hear about the middle eight and winning the end of the first half and beginning of the second half. Chiefs executed it perfectly tonight with a touchdown on both ends of it. What was a 10-6 Lions lead was a game that the Chiefs got control of, took control of, and really never let go. Lions with a nice drive to cut it to 20-17. I thought they really, someone who had golf over attempts, especially in game, they stuck with the run a little bit too much. Didn't have any sense of urgency, but at 20-17, the Lions just could not get a stop. Horrible roughing penalty from Detroit. I think it was on Hutchinson. I didn't love the call, but it was just a stupid penalty to commit. But the bottom line to me is the Chiefs get the win 30-17. They cover. The bottom line to me is the Chiefs just look back offensively. I don't think it's that great defense, not very good defense, at least 2 years ago, where they were, you know, borderline like a top five defense, but they look fast on offense. The kid Thornton gives them some burst. Worthy is obviously a dynamic player. Kelsey still does enough. The running backs aren't great, but they're interchangeable. Who knows? Maybe they add a back at the trade deadline and go out and get, I don't know. We don't usually see this in the NFL, but Kamara, somebody to boost that position group. But Rashee Rice coming back, they look like the more explosive team. They just, Mahomes is running. They throw the ball deep. They're not this dink and dunk ball control offense they've been the past couple years. Not that anything's been wrong with their results the past couple years, but they've won in different ways, not with big time performance. They haven't really scored 30 that many points the last couple years, that many times the last couple years, but they scored 30 tonight, scored 37 a couple weeks ago against the Ravens. They really moved the ball Monday night against the Jags. So the Chiefs look to be back is the big takeaway. And if you look at the big picture in the AFC, it's going to be fascinating. I talked about it for weeks here. The Ravens, I just don't think are going to fire, but I don't know that you can count the Ravens out even at 1-5. Like, I don't think they're going to get in. I gave them out to miss the playoffs a couple weeks ago, plus 375. And that number is not reposted yet, but I imagine it's odds on to miss at this point. They are 1-5. You could talk to me all you want about easy schedule, getting this guy back, getting that guy back. That's all fair, but it gives you very little wiggle room. But I think when you look at the AFC, who can you really cross off? I think you can cross off the Dolphins and the Jets, the Bengals and the Browns. That's 4. The Titans, 5. And the Raiders, 6. The other teams, and that leaves Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers, 3 teams. Colts, Jags, Texans is 6. Steelers and Ravens will throw in there is 8. Bills and Patriots, 10. I think it's those 10 teams for 6 spots. And if you want to just count out the Ravens, which I think is dicey here, it's 9 teams for the 7 spots. Yeah, it's 7 spots. I don't know if I said 6. But to me, it's those 10 teams for the 7 spots. And you really can't cross off that many teams. So it's going to be a fascinating race. Some pretty good teams are going to miss it. I think, and going back to the rest of the games today, not great. Bills, Broncos, Jets was about as painful as it gets. But that was in the morning. The takeaways for me are these teams for real? And there was a few of them. The Colts, are they for real? Tampa at 5-1 now. Are they for real? Still not sure. I mean, that was a really good performance from Baker Mayfield. What, maybe the run of the season. I don't know how. At 3rd-14, a 1-point game. San Francisco looks like they're going to get the ball back. They have Baker Mayfield sacked for a decent loss. He gets out of it. Not just gets out of it, runs for a first down. And that was kind of the turning point of the game. They scored a touchdown shortly after that. And it was never really got much closer than that. I still don't believe in Tampa. I believe in it as a playoff team, but like go to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl. I don't believe in that. I'm still there, kind of where I'm at with the Colts, where sure, make the playoffs, maybe win a game, but I don't know. Can you see the Colts end of January in that AFC title game against the Chiefs or against the Bills? I think that's still a stretch, but Colts, Patriots, Bucks, to me, the stories of the day, and a day where not a lot happened. We had this rash of upsets the last week or so, the crazy week last week, the Thursday night game, the Giants pulling upset. But unless you went with Philly and Survivor, unless you got really cute, like if you're still in Survivor, unless you went with Philly or unless you forgot to turn in your pick for whatever reason, you're probably still in it because none of the big ones, none of the big favorites got knocked off. Green Bay, since he got a little closer than you'd probably like if you had Green Bay, that got to 6 at one point. You're thinking, uh-oh, this was just 14. Green Bay, is they give the ball back. You're only up 6. You get beat with a touchdown, but they got a couple first downs. They kicked the field goal, went up 9, and they ended up winning by 9. They didn't cover, but you know, Colts got home, although that was dicey. Arizona had their moments in that game offensively. A lot of injuries. Harrison got hurt for them. But that was a back-and-forth game. Colts just were able to score, take the lead. Arizona went down the field, had the ball inside the 10. They couldn't score. So, to me, those were the stories in what was otherwise pretty ho-hum day of football. You very rarely get a 4 o'clock Eastern window without a lot of drama like we got. Usually, I mean, were you that excited for Raiders, Titans, Bucks, 49ers? There was no drama at the end. Packers, Bengals was okay. It was watchable. You had to keep an eye on it, but that wasn't exciting. It was just, again, a kind of a, you know, a ho-hum day of football. In the Jets and the Broncos really set the tone for what was just an ugly, awful game. That was really kind of indicative of the day. It wasn't an awful day of football, but it wasn't a great day of football, to say the least. And that boy, Glenn, I know it's his first year, rebuilding, all this stuff. He looks completely, completely overmatched. You couldn't move the ball at all. And then he gets snippy with the reporter after the game saying, you know, how dare you ask me if Fields is still my quarterback? Of course he's still the quarterback. A lot of guys didn't play well. You can't just bench a guy for one bad game. Fields is awful. Fields is not an NFL quarterback. Glenn going for it instead of the field. I know it's a long field goal, but these guys make these kicks all the time. You were not going to convert that. You had no offense. If you're betting, if you had the Broncos on the money line or teasers, you're saying, please, please go for it. Please don't kick the ball, because that was, that was not the better option. I don't think anybody watching that game thought that going for it was the better option, except for Aaron Glenn. He looked completely overmatched. Maybe I don't think he'd be the first coach fired. I know they gave him a pretty good commitment. I don't even know if they'll fire him after this year, but unless he gets better, I know he's been groomed under Sean Payton and, you know, Parcells, and he played for Bill Parcells, and he coached under Campbell, he coached under Payton, all these things, but geez, he looks just completely, completely lost. He is not a good coach. I guess the other takeaway, another takeaway here, Steelers now -175 at DraftKings, -135 at FanDuel to win the division. The schedule is pretty tough coming up, but hey, you're giving yourself a pretty good cushion. I mean, they are 4-1. Ravens are 1-5. And you could sit here and say, this is a tough game, that's a tough game for Pittsburgh. And they do have some tough ones at the end. But, I mean, what do you really need to get? I think if you got to 9, I think 9's the magic number, where Baltimore's at the point at 1-5. Can they possibly get to 9? I think it's going to be really hard. I mean, you're talking about having to go, 8-3, 9-2, something like that for Baltimore. Again, maybe with Lamar back, it's possible. Maybe it's possible. But those are certainly not numbers. I mean, I would put it this way. The market is taking into account that it's possible. Those are not numbers, I would bet, on Baltimore. If you wanted to, if you got in on the early numbers a couple weeks ago on Pittsburgh and Baltimore, you're thinking, on Pittsburgh to win the division and Baltimore to miss the playoffs, and you're thinking, should I monetize it? Should I play back? I don't know. You could probably just play it week to week and see how it goes. I wouldn't. I thought about it. But I just think you put those good bets in your pocket, you just kind of go forward with it. I don't see any reason to get off it, and there's not great numbers the other way. But those were at least good bets at the time, at least how it's looking so far. And it was a pretty good week with the pick, so feel good. Hopefully getting back on track here. Been a rough start to the season, so this weekend was pretty good, which was nice. We'll get to Jeff here in a minute. Just quickly on the games on Monday, I would take Atlanta +4.5 of all the options, side total for the two games. And we do have Bills -4.5 against the Falcons, total 49.5. Commanders -5.5 against the Bears. Commanders favored, and total, again, both totals 49.5. If anything, I like Atlanta the most. I think they've played pretty underrated defensively. They are number one DVOA defensively. They've got skill guys. If they're ever down 10 late with Penix and Bijan and London, the back door could be open. I know you don't have Moody in this spot, but to me, the Bills are not good enough defensively. I mean, they blew away the Jets. Was at week 2. Other than that, they really haven't won with margin. I mean, they played a close game against the Saints, lost to the Patriots, you know, could have lost to the Ravens. They have not really dominated these games. They're not. Miami was a fairly close game. They're just not good enough defensively to ever get control of these games. So I like Atlanta plus the 4.5. If I had to take it or lay it with Chicago, I'd probably take it just because I do think Ben Johnson's a pretty good offensive coach, and you're giving him extra time to prepare for what's a pretty shaky Washington defense. So I would lean towards Chicago at plus 5.5, but I like Atlanta plus 4.5 the most. See, if you want to parlay the money lines, both underdogs on the money line, you're just looking for a little action. You get like 7-1 if you just want to sit there. And I don't like how these games are head-to-head. I don't mind the Monday night doubleheader, but I like when they're back-to-back. I actually wish, ideally, they did this during COVID. They'd have one start at like sometimes 5 o'clock, and then they have another one after that. I like that. I don't like the one at 7:15, one at 8:15. I feel like Sunday is for flipping back and forth and watching a bunch of games. Monday, I like to just watch the one game at a time, but... first world problems, to be sure. But if you want to parlay the dog 7-1, I don't think it's the worst idea. And I don't have any, big conviction on the second game. I do like Atlanta plus the points. We do have two baseball games tomorrow. Yesavage is going for the Blue Jays. Mariners have not announced the pitcher. Blue Jays fall in game one after a solo homer. First pitch of the game, they don't do anything the rest of the way. They got one hit, and the Mariners win a big game. Without a lot of pitching, Miller did a good job, and now they're going to start to get some of their pitchers back because they really spent everybody on Friday night. Gilbert came out of the bullpen. Castillo came out of the bullpen. They started Kirby, so I'd say by now their pitching is almost recovered, but we're not quite there yet because they used so much pitching in that 15-inning battle, and that's plus the bullpen, too. I mean, that's what happens when you go to the bullpen so early. So I feel like Seattle's going to win this series. I would say this is just about a must-win for Toronto, and I'd imagine Seattle goes with Gilbert and just goes for the kill. They have not announced anything yet. If anything, I would take the plus 108 with Seattle. I know Yesavage has been really good, but this feels like Seattle's time. Never been to a World Series. They're up 1-0. Now they've got home field. They've got the better pitching. And if you can put yourself in a position to win tomorrow somehow, win on Monday, Toronto's basically got to beat you 4 out of 5 with 3 out of the 5 in Seattle. So take it one game at a time there, but Seattle plus 108 would be the play, if anything. And then Dodgers, Brewers. Dodgers are going to throw Snell. Brewers are going to piece it together. Again, coming off a five-inning series that went the distance. This feels like Dodgers. I know the Brewers, it's funny. You think Brewers, Dodgers, you think, oh, wow, Dodgers just going to overmatch them. Dodgers are just too powerful, and that is probably how I lean. But they played 6 times in the regular season, and the Brewers won all 6, which, is not what you think. So, I think the Dodgers win game one, but do I want to lay the $1.57, $1.60 or so? I do not. Snell has been really good. I don't love laying a run and a half. 6.5 Ks for Snell. I would lean over there. If you want to, let's see, Snell to record a win is plus 128. Not enough. I would look at Snell because he's been so hard to hit, under hits allowed. But 3.5 is really, really low. You're getting plus money at the under 3.5. But that's these lines are pretty sharp. That's the thing about day-to-day baseball when there's 15, 16 games on at once. Or how many teams are there? 30, so there's almost 15 games on at once. But you get the idea. 13, 14, 15 games on a given day. All the lines, all the props, all the totals. It's hard to make everything properly, everything sharp. When there's only one or two games on, especially from the bettor's perspective, when you don't know who's pitching, it does make it really, really difficult. In these lines, I feel like you're just tighter, sharper in the postseason. Plus, you don't know the pitching usage. So I like the Mariners at the plus money. I think the Blue Jays are basically playing for their season. I think the Dodgers win this game 1. But again, I'm not willing to lay the price here. A Mariners-Dodgers World Series, is that what it would be? I think that's what we're looking at here. Would be certainly an interesting one, if that's what it is. And I do think the Mariners have the pitching to at least keep that competitive. So would be all West Coast. I don't know. It'd be a weird one. It'd be a fun one. And I think those teams did end the regular season. I think the Dodgers were in Seattle to end the season. It didn't mean anything for the Dodgers, but that would be interesting to finish the season in a weird interleague series like that and then finish the postseason together. I do think that's where we're headed. If you want to, I think sometimes you can look at these series correct score and find some value. Right now, the ALCS, the short shot, is Mariners to win in 5. That's plus 310. Mariners in 6 is plus 425. It feels like one of those two to me that Mariners are going to win this in five or six. I don't know if you're going to get back to a game seven for Toronto. I think when you lose game one at home, when you're Toronto, when you maybe even when you're on the road, but anytime you lose game one and you got a seventh game at home, you say, you know what, just get me to a seventh game. I think if you're Toronto, you do anything to get to a seventh game right now, even though you're only down 1-0. I don't think we get it. I guess Seattle in six plus 425 looks pretty good, but I do think it'll be Seattle in five, Seattle in six. As far as the exact series price here for Brewers Dodgers, short shot, and this is similar to the American League, short shot Dodgers in five plus 350, and then it is Dodgers in six plus 400. If you think it's going seven, you can get Dodgers in seven plus 475. If you like the Brewers in seven plus 500. The long shots are the sweeps. The long shot is the Brewers sweep at 22-1. Dodgers to sweep is plus 750. If you think, you know what, Brewers are just going to be completely overmatched. Dodgers have too much power. They're starting to get their pitching together with Sasaki, and they can unload these relievers on you, even though it's not a traditional bullpen. It's disrespectful to Milwaukee, but I don't. Of all of these, like I mentioned, I like Mariners in six at plus 425 the best, even though, you know, I'm torn between five and six. I'll go with six just because it's a better payout. I could see it ending in five. In this one, I think the best bang for your buck. It's disrespectful, but Dodgers to sweep at plus 750, I could see happening. I just don't know. Milwaukee doesn't have Woodruff. They don't really trust Mizorowski to give them much distance. Peralta's going game two. If you can beat him, if you can ever win the first two, and again, you're piecing together the pitching in game one for Milwaukee. If you can win that and then beat Peralta in game two, you're going home for 3-4. And I don't know what Milwaukee does for pitching in 3-4. So I'll be mean. I'll be disrespectful. I'll take Dodgers to sweep plus 750. I don't think that's a bad bet. But we'll find some good bets with Jeff Schwartz. We'll talk Monday night games, reactions from today, college football. His Oregon Ducks got beat. Franklin got fired. There's a lot to discuss. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. You can catch him on Fox Sports, Fox Sports Radio. I'm sure a bunch of other lovely things that he contributes to. Former NFL offensive lineman, Jeff Schwartz. Jeff, what's up, man? Another Sunday in the books here in the NFL.
I mean, why do we bother? why do we bother? Like, you just watch the games and have nothing on them and just probably enjoy football, Will. But, like, why do we bother? What's the point of any of this?
This is a Monday tradition. This podcast airs on Monday, a Monday tradition. I feel like I've said that, I don't know, pretty much every week since the season started. This was a weird week, and recording this Chiefs Lions is going on. So whatever happens there, I feel like will be the headline. But as far as like the other games, I mean, the Sunday morning game was just an absolute snooze fest. The Jets, I don't know what they were doing. That was just awful to watch. A lot of chalk, the late slate. It wasn't a typical Sunday in terms of like, wow, this game is exciting. That game, the witching hour is kind of boring. It was just kind of a boring day. I guess I'll start with this. Bucks and Colts, I think that's maybe the main takeaway of like, are they for real? I guess that's the big talking point. Do you think these teams are like legitimate, I don't want to say Super Bowl contenders, but could they get to a conference title game? And what are your thoughts on those two teams?
I mean, Tampa Bay is doing this while their entire receiving corps is hurt, right? Mike Evans out, Godwin's out. And then Ibuka hurt himself today, right? And then you look at the offensive line, it's been beat up now. They got Wirfs back, but they lost someone, I think, in the middle of the game today. Baker Mayfield's just been outstanding. You know, is he the front runner for MVP? I don't think he's winning MVP, but certainly he's be one of the guys you look at right now. But they've also beaten, think about it, they've beaten the Niners, who we think are a playoff team, right? They've beaten the Seahawks, right? The close loss to the Eagles. The Jets stink. They beat the Texans, who might end up being good. We'll find out. And the Falcons, who people think is sort of going to be, you know, a fringe playoff team. The Colts have sort of been a bunch of bums. Like, they lost, they beat so far the Titans, who stink, the Dolphins, who stink. I mean, look, what? The Dolphins have one win. The Titans have one win. The Raiders have two after today. And the Cardinals have, what, one win? Like, those are four of their five wins. They played one real team and lost by seven to the Rams. You know what I mean? I guess the Broncos are real. They should have lost too. I don't know what to buy the Colts, man. I think it's unfair to look at it that way, but I just don't see them as a Super Bowl contender. I think it's a really great story. Jones is playing very well. But I just don't buy the Colts Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, and the odds for at least if FanDuel just came out for the divisions. I've been keeping my eye on this. I've been saying for a couple of weeks now, Pittsburgh, you know, +200, anything plus money. I'm surprised that it hasn't even adjusted more. Do you want to guess before I tell you what it is? Do you want to guess what the AFC North odds are for the Ravens and the Steelers?
I mean, I think kickoff today, Steelers were slight favorites, right? So I would guess Steelers, even after today, are maybe like minus 120.
Pretty good guess. Steelers minus 135, Ravens plus 145.
Yeah.
If you want to get crazy, Bengals are 14-1. The Cleveland Browns are 40-1.
Yeah,
Pittsburgh's 4-1. The Ravens are 1-5. I know they're going to get some guys back. Their schedule's not that bad. They get a bye. 4-1 to 1-5. That's a hell of a gap to make up for those kind of odds.
It doesn't make sense. Like, you wouldn't bet on the Ravens now, but your schedule thing is very valid, though. I mean, the schedule for the Ravens is pretty... it's pretty manageable with Lamar back in the lineup. The schedule for the Steelers, though, is very tough down the stretch. I mean, that's why, right? Like, they have a much tougher schedule, and they still play the Ravens twice, right? If the Ravens are able to get, you know, they win both of those games.
It's like a three-game swing.
It's a huge swing there. And so, the Steelers still have Buffalo to play. They have to go to Los Angeles to play the Chargers. They have to play the Colts still. Got to play the Lions. You know, the Browns are always feisty. I know it wasn't great. They got, you know, like, so they have a, they got to go to Chicago and they get some much tougher schedule. Well, so the odds, I don't think you can make a wager on any of these teams right now, but it is surprising that they basically have a 4.5 game lead on them. And we're still thinking the Ravens will make a push.
Before we get to the Monday night games, any other takeaways you want to get in from the Sunday games? Or am I kind of, I don't know, just felt like it was kind of a boring, chalky day, didn't it?
Is anyone good? Like, I don't know.
Nobody's who's great good? For sure. I mean, nobody's great. We know that.
I mean, who's good? New England's 4-2, and I don't know if they're any good. I mean, they might win 10 games this year because their schedule, they're 4-2. They have the Titans and Browns next.
They're going
to be 6-2. And I don't know, man. They're good. I think they're a good team to after that two-game stretch, to hit the win total under, because they still have the Bucks coming up. They're the Giants, the Bills, the Ravens. The division, though, they just have two with the Jets still. Oh, jeez. They have an easy schedule, man. It's just so funny looking at the AFC right now, where – right now, the AFC standings, again, this is as we're recording this during Sunday Night Football, but right now, I mean, it's the playoffs are Colts, there has to be Colts, Steelers, Bills, Chargers, division leaders right now, and then Jacksonville, Denver, and the Patriots. That's our seven playoff teams.
So, again, we're doing this during Sunday Night Football. I mean, the Chiefs probably get one of those spots. I mean, who do you think... if you had to pick the seven right now in the AFC, who would your seven be?
So I think Buffalo would be the one seed. You have to take Indianapolis right now. I mean, I don't know how you don't take them to win the South. I think the Ravens are dead, man. I would take Pittsburgh to win that division. And the Chiefs, I mean, they got to win tonight. They'll be two back of the Chargers if they don't win. They still play the Chargers once. I mean, right now I'd probably lean Chargers. Then I would put Chiefs in there. Probably Patriots and Texans or Broncos probably. I don't think
Broncos, Broncos, Jags, Colts, right? Broncos, Jags, Texans for the third spot. And I guess you throw Baltimore in there.
The thing about Jacksonville is we saw today, if they don't force turnovers on defense, they're just not as good. I mean, they lived on turnovers for so many weeks in a row. They didn't force any turnovers, and they weren't competitive in this game. And their wide receivers must hate Trevor Lawrence. All they do is drop passes.
Oh, my God. It's so
right
bad.
In their hands. So
bad.
So I think that's what I would go with right now. I think Chiefs will be in, though. It might be difficult, you know, 10-7, 11-5. Fred Warner out for the season. The Niners, might be time to sell the Niners, man. They're just – now you have – so Bosa, Warner – are out for the season. Ayuk hasn't played yet. I don't know, man. I don't know how you buy them at all. I wonder what the odds are for like no playoffs.
Yeah, and we can do the same exercise for the NFC. I was just going to say, Warner, I heard him on the Manning cast Monday night And he was so smart, good. He was just like a coach. He knows more than these coaches. He was saying, you know, somebody got a free rusher on Mahomes. You got to attack the arm side. They attack the other side. And then that able to get him off a throw. Like, he was just, he was making so many good points. And I saw when he got hurt, and I just felt bad. And like you said, it just, it feels like that team, really since the start of last year, it just feels like they're doomed. Every time you look up, you got not just somebody getting hurt. They have like happening clusters of like three or four guys. You get an injury, like, oh, this guy's banged up, that guy's banged up. With them, it's like, all right, these three or four guys are banged up. It just comes in waves with them. It's bizarre.
It's unexplainable. I don't know how to explain it.
The seven NFC teams, would you put Eagles and Commanders in?
Yes.
Lions and Packers, that would be four.
The Packers are so unimpressive.
I think yeah. They'll get in though, right? Probably. Bucks would be a fifth team as a division winner.
Yep.
And then who do you have winning the West?
Rams. I've had them all season. I think that today was a little ugly too, but
yeah, expected. It wasn't pretty.
Expected to be ugly though. We looked a little. Weather looked didn't look terrible. Long trip across the country. You know, everyone thinks the Ravens stink, and they do. And you know, they covered.
Awful loss though. I thought they yeah they did cover, and they made it interesting, man, because they were up 14. They had a chance to go up either 17 or 21, and they give the ball back. And Huntley was looking like he was going to drive for maybe the back door. They probably would have gone for two, but that got a little dicier than I thought it should have been. All right, so if we're going to go Rams and Bucks division winners, Lions and Packers is four, Eagles and Commanders is six. That means the seventh team comes out of Dallas, Minnesota, Chicago. I don't know that the NFC South gets a wild card. Maybe the Falcons. And then whoever in the NFC West, the 49ers, the Seahawks. I mean, probably not throwing the Cardinals there, 2-4. Who's the seventh team out of that?
Yeah, I can say the Seahawks got to be in there, right? I mean, they're 5-1 now.
Seahawks are 4-2.
4-2.
Yeah. Lost to the Niners that first week and then lost last week to Tampa.
Schedule's not bad. A lot of winnable games still. Yeah.
So that would be your seven, those seven teams?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right, which would put the Vikings on the outside looking in, but I think that's probably how it's looking. All right, two Monday night games. Bills laying 4.5 to the Falcons, total 49.5. Yeah. Anything for you in this one?
I like Buffalo. I know I'm against the Sharps in this one, but it just makes more sense in my mind that Buffalo coming off the loss they had to New England, which obviously is, you know, it is what it is. It's so funny, man. You know, the NFL, like, you lose games. Like, we get that, right? And people act like you never lose. Oh my God, they lost. I'm off Buffalo. I'm like, we're off Buffalo. Why are we off Buffalo? They lost one game. Buffalo's still incredibly good. And I think Buffalo's better than the Falcons. They're off a bad loss, which is important to note here, as well. The Falcons are also just like sort of not good in primetime games. And here it is right here. He is Raheem Morris as a at home as a head coach. 4-16 against the spread as a home underdog.
Not good.
Not great. So I like Buffalo to win and cover that game.
How about the second one? We're up to 5.5 here, Commanders. The Hail Mary revenge game for the Bears. Commanders and Bears. Commanders laying 5.5, another 49.5. Anything for you here?
You could have got Commanders at, what, 4, 4.5 earlier this week?
Yeah.
It's too out of reach for me now. I do think that Commanders are the right side, but I think that once they got their footing last week with Daniels back, you know, they were down 10-0. They sort of clicked a little bit, Will, and it looked a lot better. That's what I expect to see from the Commanders moving forward. Bears off a bye. I like the Commanders, but you just get a bad number now.
Last one before we switch to college. Last one in NFL. Best and worst offensive line in the NFL.
Best offensive line in the NFL is because right now there's just no health, right? Like, health is an issue. The Buffalo Bills went healthy, and I think they're the healthiest right now, or the best. You know, Eagles are just too unhealthy right now. Well, like, they typically have been the bellwether for that. The Lions are pretty close. They're healthy. They're playing much better right now. Worst offensive line, I mean, the Chargers are up there because of the injuries right now. I mean, it's not anyone's fault per se. The Jets had just an off. I don't want to be recency biased. I don't think their offensive line is that bad, but they played so bad against the Broncos, dude. What was Fields sacked? Like 8, and then those are not all their fault, of course, but they just had a really bad Sunday. Again, it wasn't all their fault. Fields holds the ball forever, but Tennessee's O-line ain't really good right now. The Bengals are not great, But it's hard to find a worse at the moment. Those are kind of the teams that jumped in my head.
All right, college, a lot to get to here. First, Franklin. I mean, we kind of figured once they lost to Northwestern, it's just a matter of time. I didn't expect it to happen. You know, Sunday morning, it's amazing how quickly life's changed where, well, 15 days ago, they're winning in overtime, double overtime against Oregon. And imagine telling someone that night, that Saturday night around, what was it, 11:30 Eastern, hey, like 2 weeks from now, Franklin's going to be fired. They've lost three in a row, but that's what happened. I don't know. Were you shocked, and where do you think they go for a coach here?
Shocked. Look, I get it, man. It's not going well. But the thing about Franklin we know he's a good coach, right? We know that. He's a good coach. Hasn't won the big game. And, you know, for a long time, he won the other games. And he lost two of those games in a row that's, you know, kind of, they're not great. We know that. They're 3-3. Things have kind of fallen off. But, well, when you fire a coach, you got to hire someone better. I just don't know who that better option is at the moment. Maybe he lost the locker room. Maybe there's motivation issues. Those are all fair things to wonder. We don't know. I'm sure we'll get information coming out with that. I understand the firing to get, you know, to basically get ahead of all this, right? Start doing the back channeling, start raising money to hire a coach and find that money. So I get sort of that. But I laid the three with Iowa already this weekend. I mean, talk about a terrible spot to go into. A night game in Iowa with a backup quarterback off a fire coach. Like, for me, like, this is not a UCLA situation where UCLA unlocked Nico when they fired Deshaun Foster and let Jerry Neuheisel call plays. There's no unlocking of the Penn State offense. It's the same OC is there. The same guy's calling plays, same guy's calling the defense. They look uninspired. Now they have a backup quarterback. I don't buy it. So who gets that job? I'm sure the first call is going to be to Indiana. And how much, Sig? How much you want, man? Is there a better job in the history of college football than what Cignetti has done in a year and a half in Indiana?
Not sure. I mean, I know Bill Snyder, people talk about that. That was a little before my time of just building that program out of nowhere, but Cignetti's not far behind him. It goes to show you in the NIL, the portal era, if you can hit the transfer portal correctly and I didn't like the way he coached against Notre Dame last year, but this team is better this year. I think they're legitimate top three, top five team. I mean, what would you say after watching them? Not to bring up a sore subject, but how impressed were you watching them, and where would you rank Indiana?
It's interesting. What their superpower is they play really well in what they do. So they're not complicated, Will. Like, their offense is not complicated. RPO, inside zone, throws outside the numbers. I mean, the entire Oregon game, outside of the RPOs, I think they threw four passes in between the numbers. That was it.
Incredible.
Two were caught into the numbers, but were going away, like going to the sideline, right? They were caught like 2 yards out to the numbers running to the sideline. I didn't count those. Four passes over the middle, 2 for 4. One was a pick six. Like, they're good at what they do defensively, right? They swarm to the ball. They're physical. They just play zone 90% of the time. I think they have the most zone, Will, in the entire college football. They run these sim pressures. So, like, are they as talented as Ohio State or Miami or A&M or even the Oregon? No. But the superpower is they just play really well together. And you tell me that they can beat Ohio State with that Ohio State offense? Absolutely. Can they beat Miami? I don't know. I mean, they're in every game. So, yeah, they're just, to me, they're as favorite as everyone else. It's interesting. I saw a Bud Elliott tweet tonight. SP Plus came out for this week. Oregon, by the way, still ahead of Indiana, which I know people like despise those discussions. But like, if they were to play again, Oregon's probably a favorite, which I think is dumb, Will, the way that game went down. But I think that's actually how it would end up happening. Oregon would be slight favorite still, taking home field in advantage. But like, right now, Bud Elliott, so the difference between 1 and 17 SP Plus is one score, okay? In 2019, it was 3 scores between 1 and 17. Like, there's just a lot of good, not elite teams right now, and it feels like there's a lot of opportunity for someone to just, like, make a move. But who can do it over 3 or 4 games? That's the question, and and I don't have a great answer for you right now. We'll find out. But what we thought about this season is not what we're going to end up with this season.
List of teams that if they won the national title, you would not be surprised. I know I've phrased that confusing. So you wouldn't be surprised if Miami won. You wouldn't be surprised if Ohio State won. That's two.
I'd be surprised if Texas Tech were to run the table in the postseason. I would be surprised if Indiana did this for three games against elite teams.
Right.
You know, I know people point to this is not supposed to be Oregon's year. I know it sounds after a loss to say that, but like you know this. I've said this to you before. Like 2026 has always been their target year. I never thought Oregon was even winning a championship being Penn State. That's probably the top of my list.
So you think the teams that can realistically win, not realistically, the teams that can win it, you wouldn't be shocked. Miami, Ohio State.
I think would Bama's up there.
Bama on that list.
Bama's won three top 25 games in a row, I think. I think Bama's got to be up there. And DeBoer's big game coach. Like he'd been at spot before with Washington. Those three feel like no surprise. I think Indiana is going to be a 12-0 and play Ohio State in Indianapolis, and that game will probably be a 3-7 point game. But I don't know if I buy them to win three playoff games in a row. But this is the year to do it. I'll tell you that, man. And again, this is not a year with a bunch of elite teams.
Yeah, and I'm like with Texas Tech, Indiana. I wouldn't be shocked if like Notre Dame last year they got to a title game. It is hard for me to picture like sitting there, third week of January or whatever, where Texas Tech is holding up the trophy, winning the championship. Same thing for Indiana. Same thing for a lot of these teams. But it makes it fun. It really does.
You know, we haven't had a first time. Can you guess the last time we had a first time champion?
The last time we had a first time champion in college football. That's a good one. I don't want to sit here and think forever here. Nothing jumps to my head.
Yeah.
Would it be Clemson in 20?
Nope. They won in the 80s, I think.
Okay.
It was Florida, 1996.
Wow. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I mean, it makes sense. It's not a sport of parity. It's a sport of it's sort of like the NBA where you know the three or four teams and it's not a sport where anyone can come out of nowhere and win it. But I think that's clearly
changed. NBA's actually had more parity recently, which is kind of funny. Historically, for like 30 years, the same five teams won all the championships. Lakers, Bulls, Pistons, Spurs, and Warriors. I was like, throw a Cavs in there one year and you throw a Raptors in there. Like, those were the champions for like 25 years in a row.
I think you could have spanned, I forget what the numbers and the specific players, but it was something like 25, 30 years where either LeBron, Kobe, Jordan, and like Duncan were in just about every finals.
Yeah.
Maybe there was an Olajuwon in there too because he was in it a couple years. But I mean, you get the idea where it's just if you have one of the two or three best players, you're competing for the championship, and it's pretty much that simple.
Should I put my Lakers hat on just so we can do some Lakers, Lakers futures?
Yeah, are you taking anything NBA this year? NBA starts soon. These winter sports start NBA. It's way too soon.
I'll watch NBA in March.
Yeah, it's too soon.
Yeah.
What was that? You cooked something pretty good tonight. We'll get you out here on this. What was that? Was that a bone-in ribeye that you sliced?
I made a bone-in ribeye in a New York strip. This guy, delivers meat in a van. He knocked on our door like a year ago. My wife was like, "Sure, I'll buy some meat from you." And then he came back, and I bought some more. The meat is really good. It's good quality meat. It was good. Yeah, two strips and a bone-in ribeye. It's delicious.
Would you grill it, or you used your?
Yeah, I didn't sous vide tonight.
Okay.
But I grilled it. And it was.
What'd you season it with?
So I do Worcestershire, and I do like a salt pepper, like that mixture you sent me, that sort of idea.
Yeah.
Salt pepper seasonings. I let it sit marinate in the fridge. Take it off, and then I just basically charred it quickly, and then I put it off to the side on the grill to let it cook away from the flames because I don't want it. We're medium rare family here. I just didn't have time to sous vide it, so I just didn't do it.
I don't know if you've tried it yet. Mike Sando recommended too. I can't recommend enough. I think it's called Spade El Ranch Marinade. Have you gotten around to trying that one?
No,
that
one is it's saved because I have to finish up my the one at current bottle I have now, and then I'm gonna buy that one.
Really, really good. Can't recommend enough. I want to make sure it's giving the right name. Yes, Spade El Ranch seasoning.
You sent it to us. I got it like in my Amazon like save for later cart.
Okay, just want to make sure. All right, Jeff. Appreciate the time.
Yeah,
sorry,
buddy.
About your Ducks. Nah. Thanks for coming on. Where can we find you?
Just go to my Twitter at Jeff Schwartz. Dude, it's so funny. This is Oregon's first loss in the regular season in 2 years. Think about that. 2 years. And our fans are like, fire the coaches. It's freaking insane, buddy.
Always
last
reasonable.
Time we lost in the regular season was Washington, early October of 23.
The missed field goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. It's hard to believe.
That's
wow,
it. That's yeah. Crazy. We didn't lose any last year. We haven't won lost this one until now. And people are like, fire the coaches. I'm like, really? We're going to go 11-1 probably. Like, the toughest game looks like USC at home at the moment.
All right, Jeff. Appreciate it, man. Right, thanks.
Bye, buddy. Take care.
All right, that will do it. Thank you to Jeff Schwartz. Rate, review, subscribe. Keep those reviews coming on Apple. Those really help us out. Appreciate it. We'll be back Wednesday. See you then.